At Quite the Thing Media, we aim to bring you the best podcasts produced by independent creators, made without constraints.
This is Zach from the Neatcast and Effin' Cultured. Thanks for joining Podcast Father on his journey, sharing the great things that all sorts of creators are doing. He's the indie podcaster.
You've been searching for a podcast. Want to know about some great artist? Yeah. You've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster with your host, the Podcast Father.
Let's rock and roll into another episode of Indie Podcaster. I'm your host, Jeff, aka Podcast Father. Claire Santamol joins me today. I think I said Claire again. I need to cut that out. Claire Santamol joins me today. 48 Hours producer, creator, and host of Final Days on Earth podcast, and probably a bunch of million other things that we don't have time to mention.
I do wear a few hats. Thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
But you wear the same hat every time we talk, though, oddly enough, and I do as well.
This is my favorite one. This is the go-to running hat for me. So you catch me after a workout.
Who are we going to chat about today?
We're going to talk to Ariel Nissenblatt, aka Ari This and That.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is her Twitter handle, man. Oh, that's great. I thought you were just that clever. Let's just pretend that you came up with that.
Don't give me credit. This is all her. No, she's got the, I can respect this. She has that as a pronunciation key for her last name, because I do the same thing. I tell people it's Santama rhymes with Panama to help them pronounce it. And she does Nissenblatt sounds like this and that. So it's one of those things that'll stick in your head. You'll never mispronounce it again.
She's very involved in the independent indie podcast community, Squadcast FM. She's involved with that. She's also the founder of Earbuds Collective, Feedback with Earbuds podcast, very involved in the community.
Absolutely. I came across Ariel, like many people did, when she went viral for a tweet in July. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jeff?
Yeah, the parents... Yes, I do. Yes. I'll let you talk about it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so the tweet was, a podcast where parents try to explain what their adult children do for a living. And it went crazy. It got like 100,000 likes, 10,000 retweets, thousands of quote tweets. Everyone thought, this is a podcast that needs to be made. And she's doing it. Ariel's doing it. She's going to make that podcast called Parents Explain. I, for one, cannot wait to listen. I know I'm not alone in that.
Absolutely. Let me tell you a story. Once I had a tweet get like 1,000 likes. I said, it's my birthday and not a single person has wished me happy birthday. So then I get hundreds of people saying, I'm not single, I'm married, but happy birthday or happy birthday. And it just went on for like 3 days straight. Then I had the cool people that were like, you big crybaby, no one cares about your birthday. And I would just be like, thanks for the birthday.
People had like a hater response to a birthday tweet. I mean, that's just classic Twitter, right? Even someone can even get upset about that.
Yeah, I was just messing around and I was getting hundreds of responses and then insults too along the way. So I had fun. Not near as cool as her tweet though, for sure. Or not near as cool as all the things she does for the podcast community. And I can't wait to share it with everybody. So let's go ahead and get into it, but let me take care of a little business real quick. Jeff here. I want to talk about a few things that keep this podcast going. If you like the work that I'm doing, I encourage you to share it with a friend. That really is the best way to spread the word about Indie Podcaster. I would love it if you would go to your favorite podcast listening platform, may it be a Apple or Good Pods, and leave me a rating. Throw me some stars if you would like. All that word of mouth and sharing reviews of this podcast does help. This podcast and myself are proud member of Quite the Thing Media. Quite the Thing Media, podcasts that speak to you. Go check out all the great independent creators from around the world. It is a community-based podcast network. Check it out. It's great. QuiteTheThingMedia.com. If you want to check out my page, it's QuiteTheThingMedia.com/podcastfather. You can request a review from me on site or submit a form to participate on this very podcast. Check it out. I highly encourage you to download and listen to your podcast on the Good Pods app. This app is awesome. You can see what your friends and influencers are listening to. They've got groups for all your interests. I've got two groups I highly suggest you check out. I've got the Indie Podcast group. I've also got the True Crime Obsession group. If you're an indie podcaster, Good Pods is for you. They've done crazy amount of things these last couple months to reach out and help indie podcasters. They've got tip jars on there for your podcast. They've got performance charts that are based just on independent podcasts. Make sure you download the app and check it out. PodPage is a proud sponsor of this podcast. PodPage is an amazing resource to build your podcast website. You want them big search engine hits. You want to be out there. You want to leave your mark in the digital world. And this website makes it extremely easy to do that. You can set up your podcast website in just a few minutes. Make sure you check it out, podpage.com. That's enough of all that. Let's jump into this awesome interview. Ariel, I'm just super stoked to talk to you today. You're involved in so many different things in the podcasting community. How are you doing?
I'm really swell. How are you?
Swell. I like that. You had to turn off. I made her turn off her air conditioner, so I feel bad.
I may not be swell for much longer.
Yeah, I was about to say, we better hurry up because you might not make it. Anyway, no, it's super cool, all the different things that you're involved in. So, I mean, I could go over it. Earbuds Podcast Collective, Squadcast, you're involved. You have a lot of things going on, but I'll let you explain it and introduce yourself.
Sure. Yeah. I'll go chronologically. What got me into the podcast space was Earbuds Podcast Collective, which is my weekly podcast recommendation newsletter that sends 5 episodes on a theme, and each week is curated by a different person, and anyone can curate a list. I started that newsletter in 2017 and have been running it every single Sunday since. I have never missed a Sunday. It is super important to me that I send it out every Sunday night, and I hope that it's important to not just me, but to my subscribers as well. You know, through that, I've gotten a really great sense of the podcast that exists, the podcast that should exist, the podcasts that have existed and have since gone away, that should be rebooted. I've met a lot of key players, and I've met a lot of people just all over the space, whether it's indie podcasters, bigger podcasters, networks, everybody. So I'm really, really grateful to my 24-year-old self for coming up with the idea for Earbuds, because I wanted to listen to more podcasts. And running Earbuds spurred me to do a lot more in the podcast space, because really the reason I started it, in addition to wanting to listen to more podcasts, was I wanted to be paid to do something in the podcast space. And I didn't know what that was going to be, because I had only worked for Jewish nonprofits up to that point, and I wasn't totally jazzed about that line of work. I wanted to do something that I was so passionate about, and I found that in the podcast space, but I didn't know how to get paid to do something. So I started with this newsletter. I eventually monetized the newsletter and have since used the newsletter to get my foot in the door of some other companies. So I worked at a co-working space for a while as the podcast studio manager, which got me a lot of experience with production. I worked for CastBox, the podcast listening app, for a little over a year doing marketing and business development. And now I am at Squadcast, which is a remote recording studio, which we're recording on right now.
And it's pretty neat. I've heard a lot of great things about it, so I'm excited to use it. And no, thanks again for joining me today. And you, like you just covered it all, and you made it sound like really simple and short, but I know we'll deep dive into the story a little bit more. But so talk to me about when you first got started. So you said 2017, that's really around the time when I really started hearing the word podcasting a lot. I go back years before that, putting out content on the internet, audio content, and the word podcasting was never used. Those words were never used.
Interesting.
Well, it was like, well, you're saying you're 24 is making me feel really old, but
I'm not 24 anymore.
I know, but getting into it then, but you got into it at a really good time, because that seems like when podcasting really started to take off as it is, right? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Serial came out around that time, a few years before, actually. But, you know, it took a while for the people who really admired Serial to decide that this was going to be, number one, more content that they wanted to listen to, and number two, to inspire some folks to actually create that content. So on both sides, the listener and the creator side, I think the Serial effect took a while to really kick into motion.
So I assume that was a podcast you listened to?
Yes. I actually did not listen to it at first. I was working in an office with a bunch of people around my age, and everybody was talking about podcasts, and I've always liked to be a little bit contrarian, and they were like, you have to listen to this podcast. You got to listen to this podcast. And I was like, I'm not doing that, because I don't want to talk about what the whole office is talking about, which is a bad attitude. I regret that attitude now. Eventually, when I listened to the show, I had to listen in secret because I couldn't tell everybody that I was listening to the show that I for so long rejected. And then I was like, no, I have to talk about this with somebody. So then I was like, I was just like, this is so great. And I'm so sad that I resisted it for so long.
What else did you listen to? I listened to around that time, I would say a lot of professional wrestling like podcasts started becoming really big. So that's when I really started finding podcasts besides Serial. I mean, obviously listen to Serial, but professional wrestling podcasts also were big then. So what else did you listen to?
I started listening. I remember Radiolab being big. This American Life, of course, your pretty typical NPR and NPR adjacent type shows. And then I also listened to Criminal, which I would also say kind of is in the same NPR type style, narrative, investigative. And then I just was hooked on these stories because I'm not a huge reader, but when I'm into a book, I'm really into a book. And audio just allows me to be thrust into these stories faster, I think, and to absorb more story. And what I really like about it is just that I can learn about different worlds every day and hear stories about people that I would never hear about otherwise. I think it's just such a mind expansive drug almost.
At some point in time, you had to like realize like I can make a living doing this, or I can, like you said, make money doing this. You know, wee little Jeff myself always loved basketball, but I wasn't going to make any money being 6 foot tall and what I am playing basketball. Like, when did you and what caused you to actually like think like, hey, I can actually do this? Then you moved on to the newsletter.
The newsletter actually was started really ad hoc. I knew that I wanted to listen to more podcasts. I was stuck in traffic all the time in Los Angeles. I was living there at the time. And I thought, okay, I know how to send an email. So I asked some friends if they wanted to be involved. And I sent out the first newsletter. And what that looked like was I chose a theme. And the theme was New Beginnings. And on February 13th, 2017, I sent out a Gmail and BCC'd about 50 people. And it was the ugliest looking email you've ever seen. It was not cute. I don't know how the clicks did because it was the first one. And I was using mail. I was using Gmail. So there's just no way to know like if it did well or if people were into it unless I asked. Luckily, it was just 50 people I was sending it to, and I knew most of those people. So if I really wanted feedback, I could have said, hey, what'd you think of this? And I'm sure I did really invite feedback at the time. But yeah, I started really ad hoc, did not think about making money at the time, but did think I really love podcasts. I'm in Los Angeles. There are a lot of podcast professionals here, radio professionals. There are a lot of podcast meetups. I want to have something to show when I go to these podcast meetups. I want to have something to talk about. So the newsletter allowed me to do that. And it was an easy in because I'd say, do you want to curate a list for me? When you curate a list, you can include one of your own episodes. And that's a really great marketing tool for you. So that allowed me not only something to talk about, but also something to leverage.
When did you turn that into podcast form with the feedback with earbuds?
Oh, so for a long time, people said, okay, you have this podcast recommendation newsletter. Why don't you turn that into a podcast? And I said, nah, you know, there's too many voices out there. There's too many podcasts. I don't need to have a podcast as well. At some point, actually, I know exactly when it was. I was walking with my friend just in Los Angeles on a nice day. And she said, why don't you just start a podcast? You can just talk about what the episodes are for that week that you're recommending. You can put some voice clips in. You can get participation from your curators. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, okay. So I went home and I quickly recorded with the same microphone right here. And I put it out. And that was October of 2019 that I started that. So coming up on 2 years for feedback with earbuds. And it has taken a lot of different shape since it started. Initially, it was just a podcast recommendation podcast, me saying what the theme was, what the episodes were, doing a little description of each episode. I've changed the music multiple times. I've changed audience participation multiple times. I've added in interviews. I've taken out interviews. I've then put them back in. I recently started adding little 10 to 15 second clips of each episode to be included along with the mention of that podcast episode. And usually, if you follow me on Twitter, one of the things that I talk about all the time when it comes to podcast consulting is consistency, along with transparency and seasonality, breaking up your content into seasons. And I break a lot of my own rules, and I'm okay with that because I'm not necessarily looking to grow the show. I'm looking to have this be here for the long run and for it to be something that is a companion to the newsletter, so that if folks want to listen to podcast recommendations rather than read them, they can do that. And really what I'm trying to do is find the best format for this type of content. And I think that's going to take a little bit of time to find, because podcast about podcast recommendations can be dry, but it doesn't have to be. And I'm looking for that formula.
I think it's important that you didn't do both at the same time when you started out. That would have been like, if you try to do too many things at once, that could really like, it could have really affected the, how well the newsletter's done.
Yeah. And when I look back at my first few newsletters, they were so cringy. And I can only imagine if I started the podcast around the same time, I'd probably, that's an even more like visceral reaction. It would be much more cringy.
So talk to me about what was next, because I know you're involved with Squadcast also.
Yeah, that's a really great question. Well, I've done a lot in the space, and a lot, I think the reason I've done so well in this space and that I love this space so much is that people are extremely friendly, and I'm sure you get that sense too. I know the Good Pods community is extremely friendly. People just want to help each other out, and I think it's because by nature, podcasters are collaborative, and that extends beyond just being nice to each other on Twitter. It actually means let's help each other out on our podcast. What can I do to help more people get ears on your show and vice versa? And so I am just really grateful for all the people who got coffee with me along the way. And then I returned the favor. And when I knew a little bit more, I would get coffee with the next generation of people who want to learn about this podcast space. So pretty early on, I knew that I wanted to be paid to do anything, but I didn't really know what my niche was. And I think what it's carving out to be is that I just know a lot about the podcast industry, and I have an affinity towards marketing and community building. So my role at Squadcast is community building, and I also do a lot of the content creation. So working at Squadcast is amazing because Zach and Rock, who are the co-founders, are just some of the nicest people I've ever met.
How did you meet them?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was in Los Angeles, I helped out with a podcast festival called Outlier Podcast Festival. And I still help out with that festival. I work with Ever Gonzalez, who's the creator of it, to bring it to different cities around the US. But in September of 2018, we did a show at the co-working space that I worked at in Los Angeles, and Zach and Rock sponsored, and they brought a booth, you know, they brought pamphlets, they brought some giveaways, and I met them there. Just shook hands, didn't talk too much. But then when I found out a little more than 2 years later that they had a job opening, I applied, and I found out actually that when I was on stage at Outlier, they heard me say something that has stuck with them, which is at the time I didn't have a podcast and neither did they. And I said, you know, hey, everybody, welcome to Outlier Podcast Festival. I just want to let you know, I don't have a podcast and I am here running this podcast festival, and that's okay. Because I think podcast listeners are just as essential to the podcast landscape as podcast creators are. And apparently that really stuck with Zach and Rock. Since then, they have started a podcast, and now I help on that podcast, but it's kind of a nice full circle moment.
So that's how you met them. So yeah, and you said networking is really such a huge and critical part of anything, but especially when you're doing something that's really based on community building to find success, for most people at least. Not everybody needs that, but it's definitely helpful.
I agree. I think your podcast does not exist in a vacuum. And, you know, you can come up with an idea for a podcast. There might be 50 other podcasts just like that, but the difference between yours and theirs is that you are creating yours. But you're probably going to want to keep a close eye on those podcasts and be friends with them in some way. And it doesn't have to be competitive. I think Even if your podcast is extremely similar, there are ways for you to collaborate and not necessarily compete. But the first step there is being aware of them. And for that, I recommend all the Facebook groups, all the Twitter hashtags, all the ways that people connect online. And just being aware of each other is step number one.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we came into, I mean, I had obviously seen the newsletter and stuff like that, that eventually popped up one day and we started talking. I did want to, and I see a lot of the things that you tweet about and I agree with them. I did want to talk about the podcasting world and how it's changed. Obviously, there's a lot more podcasts now. I mean, it's by far more. And then you also have by far more on Twitter, all in this confined area, trying to figure out what to do and find themselves. So I'll get back to that, but I do want to say you had this tweet that went viral. It was super cool. So I'm going to let you talk about this tweet that you had.
Which one? The mega viral one or the podcast viral one?
A podcast where parents try to explain what their adult children do for a living.
Yeah, so that one went mega viral. So the reason I differentiate is because I've gone like podcast viral before, and that's like a couple thousand. You know, it can't expand much beyond that because, yes, there are a lot of podcasters out there, but in order to hit like the internet, it's got to be something resonant with more than just the podcast community. And so this tweet, which said, as you just read, a podcast where parents try to explain what their adult children do for a living. Yes, it has to do with podcasts, but it also recalls something in people's minds that everybody has a story about. So I was in the shower one day, and I always have my best thoughts in the shower. And once I was out of the shower, I tweeted that, and I thought, okay, yeah, maybe it'll do well. Maybe it'll go podcast viral because it's a little bit funny and everybody can think of a story. But within like 4 hours, I knew that it was mega viral, and it was so much fun. I had so much fun with it. I recommend going viral to everybody if you can figure it out. And I am trying to figure out how to recreate it because it was just a great time. The dopamine hit is real of all the likes and the comments and the retweets. I learned a few things from the experience. Number one, everybody thinks they're being unique when they comment. There were like six comments that recurred throughout the thousands of comments that I received. And it was just really funny to see people thinking that they were commenting those things and being unique in commenting them. A lot of people reached out to me and I learned that they don't read because a lot of people would say, I'll help you create this podcast, as if I have never created a podcast in my life. Whereas if you look at my bio, it clearly states that I'm a podcast producer. I had a lot of people try to steal the idea from me, saying, if you don't do this fast, I'm going to take it. And I was like, okay, that's a little threatening and weird, but you do you. I think I have enough social proof that this is my idea first. And I also realized that it is proven to be a great concept. I've interviewed 5 people and their parents already just to test the concept further. And every single one has had amazing stories within it. And I'm really excited to see. I am really producing the show. Maybe I buried the lead there. I'm making it happen. And yeah, the stories are going to be really great.
What's it called? I mean, it's not going to be that whole tweet, right? That's a long title.
I thought about that. Working title is going to be Parents Explain, but I may be working with a larger company that's going to help me rework it and possibly come up with something a little snappier.
I actually speak with a lot of different independent podcasters. Some of them just getting started are like really, really small. And it can be hard to, like I was saying, to find yourself on Twitter. And there's a lot of different, I'm just going to say, rabbit holes you can go down. And like I mentioned earlier, you say a lot of things about social media that I agree with. There's a lot of problems of the way people execute their podcast promotion on, let's say, Twitter. You agree with that?
Oh, yes. There is so much self-promo on Twitter.
And it's maybe not always done in the best way to go about it, I guess.
No, it's often not.
No, you're right. So, and you do tweet about that sometimes, and I always agree with them, but somebody actually DM'd me about your viral tweet. And they said, Jeff, like, this podcast is gonna do so amazing. It had 12.5K retweets. It had 123,000 likes. I'm like, yeah, it was going viral. That's awesome. But I don't think people understand that that doesn't mean you're going to have 123,000 downloads when that first episode comes out.
Not at all.
Exactly. The execution part on Twitter has to be done right. What things do you see that maybe aren't being done right by podcasters? And I'm not saying it in a negative manner. I want to have a conversation that's helpful. I'm proud to announce that the podcast Father, myself, Jeff, and Podpage are teaming up for this sponsorship. Podpage is great, guys. Like I was telling you earlier, it is so critical to have an actual podcast website. I know the link trees are used a lot, but you need an actual website. You need something that's going to show up in Google. You need something that's going to show some hits, a trail that will lead to your podcast. And there's not a better way to do it than Podpage. You can build a beautiful podcast website in 5 minutes. Automatically create a listener-friendly podcast site from your RSS feed. Customize the design to create a professional look you'll be proud of in just a few clicks. There is no coding or technical knowledge necessary. There's a free trial to give this a shot, and there's different packages ranging from free to all the goods and gadgets, but still at affordable prices. Podpage is big supporters of indie podcasts, so make sure you support them also. Go on podpage.com and get your podcast website set up. With that being said, we will roll into this segment sponsored by Podpage, where we will play a trailer from a different indie podcast every episode. I hope you enjoy it and give them a listen after you're done listening to my show. Then afterwards, we'll jump back into the interview.
Hello, Meat Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.
This is my favorite topic because everybody needs to self-promote. It is a natural part of life, especially when you're a content creator. But how do you do it in a way that is not only effective for you, but also non-intrusive for other people? I can say what not to do and then what to do. So what does not work is finding people who post, does anybody have any podcast recommendations? And then throwing your link there with no explanation at all. Same with another thing that does not work is when you have a new episode that comes out, going onto your own Twitter and just tweeting something like new episode out now with the link. It's just not, you can do it. It's not bothering anyone per se, but it's not going to get you the clicks that you want. It's not going to convert any listeners. Your social media, your job as somebody who is a podcaster and who has social media, your job is to keep your social media updated because your social media is a place that your followers, that your listeners will go to in order to find out some information about your show. Maybe you mentioned something on your show that you're following up with on social media. They're going to go to find out that you exist. Or if they hear about your show, they might search for you on Google and maybe your Twitter will come up. If there's nothing going on your Twitter, that's not great. But if your Twitter also looks like a wall of your own links to your own show, that's not interesting either. So what can you do? Great question. Thank you for asking. So what I am advocating for lately is if you have a new episode that comes out and your new episode is about this professor, you're talking to a professor who specializes in beluga whales. Maybe your podcast is about marine biology and you're talking this week to a professor from Cambridge about beluga whales. Because your podcast is so specific, it's about marine biology, you probably have a lot of people who are listening who are really into marine biology or who really like science or any of the buzzwords that go along with that. You have an opportunity for your social media to be not just a place where people come for your podcast, but where they come for information about beluga whales. And you can apply this to everything. Your podcast is about indie podcasters. It's where people come to get information about indie podcasters or to get information about how to start a podcast, anything like that. Creators. So you have an opportunity for your social media to be a place where people come for that information, not just what's the latest episode. So I am advocating lately for long threads, at least 4 tweets long, you know, that ask a question. They open up with a question. something potentially engaging to people. So if it's about beluga whales, you might say, what did this beluga whale professor do before he got into the field of marine biology? And you're thinking that might be enticing to some people who have had a career change, who have been wondering about this professor and how he only became a professor at the age of 45. You might be wondering all these things. So then you go a little bit further and you maybe make a few points about what you talked about during the episode. And then your last tweet can say, if you want more information on this, you can click on this episode and listen. Because then people are going to your profile not just for the episode, they're going there for information. And then if they want more, they can opt into more rather than just being served this link, because that link is not really doing anything. Another thing I would look into is if you do want to throw your link up on a bunch of different tweets that are asking for podcast recommendations, find out what these people are looking for specifically. So if your podcast is about marine biology, maybe search in the Twitter search bar for people who are looking for podcasts about marine biology or about science. People have information in their bios, and it is worth it to target your links to find out what people are actually interested in hearing from you about. Because if you just throw a link, not only are you going to get ignored, but also Twitter starts to ignore you, because if it's just a link, it's going to get hidden. Twitter likes to hide links that look like spam. So that's some things that you can do on Twitter that I think will make you more enticing. I'm also a big fan of just letting your social media and your newsletter potentially speak for itself. It should exist as content on its own, separate from your podcast, because if people find you, great. And then you have a podcast, and then you also have more content for them. That's great. Yeah, I think there are ways to use social media that will actually bring people to you. And then there are ways to use social media that are not going to be harmful, but they're just going to be a waste of time.
The engagement piece, when you talk about threads and all that, is really, really big. But you also want to have that engagement from the right people, like you just said, based on what your content is and who you're trying to reach. A lot of times you see where there'll be somebody with 100 retweets, but they might be from all other podcasters.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything.
I've had Twitter for just shy of 4 months. Are all your friends just podcasters? I mean, your followers?
No, not at this point. So I've been on Twitter. I started the Earbuds Twitter in 2017, and then I started my personal Twitter in 2019. But because I'm just involved in, you know, other aspects of life, I've had people follow me from all over. I would say I am firmly on podcast Twitter. Most of my tweets are about podcasts, but they're not about only podcast listening. They're about the podcast industry. They're about literally listening to podcasts and the experience of enjoying a show that I genuinely love. And then sometimes it's about a company that I'm proud of or a piece of news that is unrelated to podcasts that somehow I make related to podcasts. So yeah, that's some of the stuff that I'm tweeting about. But to go back to your point, if there's tweets that are clearly engagement bait. If somebody says, retweet this if you love podcasts, those are fun. Twitter should be a fun place. I love podcasts. I'm going to retweet that. But that's not going to do anything for your show.
Yeah. And I think I've talked to some people where they may be in a retweet group or a support group, which is, no, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But then they're wondering why they're not getting the downloads or the engagement percentage that's their goal. How do you have like a happy middle place where you are engaged with the community, but you're also trying to reach whatever community that is your niche or what your focus is?
Yeah, it's not going to do anything. I think we need to change our expectations. If you just can't expect that the people who are giving you love on social media are also the same people who are listening to your show, because indie podcasters only have enough time in the day. What are they going to do? Listen to every other indie podcast out there? Probably not. They're probably spending a lot of time creating their own shows and then listening to shows that they genuinely have been loving for a long time. They might listen to one or two of their friends' shows to like keep up with them, but they can't listen to all of them. So I think the balance is, it's great if somebody comes to your social media who is a potential listener or who is already a listener and sees that you get a lot of engagement, that's great. So keep up with your engagement groups, but I don't think that that's, you should not expect your social media to convert to listeners. It's unfortunately not the way most shows are going to have success. But what you can do is, I think, should I talk about newsletters? I love talking about newsletters.
That's your thing, yeah.
Yeah, so I think when you are looking to get more ears on your podcast, one of the things that you should consider doing is hitting potential listeners where they actually are at the time and where they're going to be most likely to convert to listening. So I'm just thinking about it from my perspective as a listener. What actually makes me want to download a show? It's a few things, but it's not scrolling through Twitter. I am very unlikely to be scrolling through Twitter because at that time, my brain is set on scrolling through Twitter. It's not set on, oh, if I find something, I'll pop off. Maybe I'll come back on. I'm scrolling. That's my activity. But if I'm looking at a podcast newsletter, a newsletter that recommends podcasts, I'm looking for a podcast to listen to. So get your podcast on those podcast newsletters. Some of them are paid opportunities. Some of them are free opportunities. Some you have to pitch and it's got to be the right pitch. But definitely set your sights on doing that. And I realized I neglected to answer a question that you asked before. So another thing to consider is if your podcast is about beluga whales, follow the people on Twitter who are all about beluga whales. And this has just been my example for a long time is beluga whales. I don't know why. It's just always the first thing that comes to my head. Yeah, follow people on Twitter who are talking about beluga whales. Follow the marine biology community. Follow the ocean conservation community. Don't follow the podcast community. Yes, sure, follow them, but don't expect them to convert for you because they're already doing their own things in the podcast space. But the marine biology community, they care about your podcast about beluga whales. So spend your time doing that. Also, subscribe to newsletters that are beluga whale related, marine biology related, ocean conservancy related. Do all of that and pitch your show to them as well, because that's where people are looking for your specific niche content.
I'll give a good example of a discussion I think I had. It was last week with a gentleman. He was asking me for help. He wasn't seeing the downloads that he thought he would after, you know, being like 6 months in or something. And I said, well, who's your podcast target? Everybody.
Nope.
It can't be everybody. So who's the target? Everybody. I couldn't get an answer. So I didn't. The conversation ended there because my whole point was what you're saying. You got to really figure out who you're trying to, you know, go after on your podcast and then engage with those people, like you just said. So you really got to define that if you're just doing it past just having fun.
Yeah. Look, if you want to have fun and your show is for everybody and you insist that your show is for absolutely everybody, you can't expect, you shouldn't worry yourself is really what it is. If you're doing it for fun, you don't have an intention of making money, have fun, genuinely have fun, but don't stress about your downloads. If you want to figure out how to eventually make money, then you need to figure out who to target. That's it. You don't need to niche down per se. If your podcast is a random podcast, a chat podcast, great, but pick a demographic and cater to them.
To me, there's a lot of people that want to be like podcast guru, and I'm by no means like that. I'm more willing to help and take my life skills that I know and apply to that. But everybody kind of, there's a lot of people that want to be that guru.
Yes. Is that a question?
It's a statement. It's a looking for how you'd react, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, there are a lot of podcast gurus.
If you're new, how do you filter through that?
That's such a good question.
To me, I think we try to overcomplicate things an awful lot. And I think that might be the first mistake. Like, sure, there's strategies, but it can't be the most complex thing ever and not be organic.
Yeah, I think if you want to do well in the podcast space, you don't need to Google who to follow, who's a really big podcaster or who has been in the podcast space for a while. You can be a successful podcaster on your own without seeking out gurus. There are a few things to follow. Number one is that there are no rules and you can do whatever you want. And I know that's a little bit counterintuitive. I just said there are a few things to follow, and then I said don't follow anything. But it's the truth. There really are no rules. There are some guidelines that you should stick to. For example, If you have an interview show and you're interviewing people about beluga whales, don't talk to people for, don't make your interviews an hour and a half long. It's probably not that important or that interesting. Generally speaking, if you were to tell me I have a show about X, Y, and Z, I'd be able to tell you about how long that should be. I just think use the rule of common sense when it comes to podcasts. If you're bored by it, other people are going to be bored by it. If it is not interesting to your mom, it's not going to be interesting to a random person who you're trying to get to listen to your show. I think it can be enticing to want to find somebody who will give you the silver bullet to make your show, make it onto Apple's New and Noteworthy so that you can then have 15,000 downloads per episode so that you can then make some money for your show. But there is no one silver bullet. Not one thing is going to make your show incredible and rise to the top of the charts. You're going to have to work at it for a long time. And that's why I mentioned earlier about how I'm okay with my show feedback with earbuds constantly changing and trying out new formats, because thankfully it's not my full-time job and I don't have to make money from it. But I encourage everybody to have fun with their shows, especially indie podcasters, because this in theory is fun for you. And if you want to be making money, there are some things that you can try to do to hurry that along, to hurry that process along. But ultimately, you cannot look for one silver bullet, because you will make yourself upset that one thing is not doing it for you.
Who are some people that you've really looked to podcasting? I ask you because I'm just the little Jeff guy, but you actually go to these conventions and stuff and you've interacted with all these cool people. Who are some of them that have been a significant part of the actual like podcasting part?
Of my journey or?
Yeah, your journey.
I am a big fan of other podcast recommendation newsletters. I am a big fan of some specific creators. Yeah, so that's an interesting question, because I think at these podcast conferences, there are so many different people. And at, you know, there's big podcast conferences, there's smaller podcast conferences. Some of them cater more towards creators, some cater more towards brands. And it really depends on the one that you go to. I'll speak to Podcast Movement. I always enjoy hearing from Lauren Passell, who is the creator of Podcast The Newsletter. And because she also listens to so many different podcasts, she has a great perspective on what is successful and what's not successful and what types of shows should be promo swapping with other types of shows. I think over time, you just get a good sense of what you've heard that does well and what you could potentially emulate so that your show might do well. And I think listening to a lot of podcasts is kind of a prerequisite for that. So I really enjoy her work. I really enjoy what Buzzsprout is doing in the podcast space. Buzzsprout is a podcast hosting site. One of my friends is the marketing manager there, or marketing director, Albin Brook. He is also a really great person to follow at podcast conferences because he always has really great speeches. He just did a talk on podcast cover art, and he talked all about how you should probably avoid putting a microphone in your podcast cover art unless your podcast is about microphones themselves. The example that he gave was that when you see a movie, you don't see references in the movie poster to the fact that it was filmed on camera. So same with podcasts. You shouldn't necessarily see in the podcast cover art references to the fact that it's recorded on a microphone. It just is recorded on a microphone. It's kind of a funny little example that he gave, but that your podcast art should pop. And there are a lot of resources that can help you create really beautiful images. And I do think in this situation, you are going to judge a book by its cover. You are going to listen to something based on whether or not it has beautiful cover art. And this is why your listeners are attracted to your show, Jeff. You have a beautiful cover art.
Wow, really? Thank you.
Yeah, and so Albin is really great. I also really enjoy the work that LWNC is doing, formerly Lantigua Williams & Co. They're an incredible organization that has a lot of podcasts under their wing, and they're also moving more into the multimedia space. So I just enjoy a lot of their shows and enjoy a lot of their social media and newsletters. They have a newsletter called Podcasting Seriously. So yeah, I'm just a big fan of, if I had to tie it all together, I think it's people that are genuinely putting out great content for creators. And you can tell when somebody's genuinely doing it and when somebody's doing it for engagement bait. And I would encourage everybody to put more out into the world than you expect to receive back. And that goes for everything, but I think it really applies to podcasts. I have really worked hard to help other people in the space, and it has come back to me tenfold, but it doesn't have to, you know, and I'm aware of the fact that I'm lucky in that sense.
That's awesome. So last question for you, and this is just an open-ended question. You can answer it however you want. What do you see big things coming up for the future of podcasting?
I would like to see more geo-targeted content, not necessarily ads. Ads are fine. I actually don't hate podcast ads. I think they're fun. But I would like to be able to go on a walking tour of Manhattan, and the street that I walk on, when I'm there, it triggers a location-based notification that lets me kind of do a choose-your-own-adventure. The technology is there. We're just not creating these things right now, and I'd love to see that. So that's on the content side what I'd like to see. On the more businessy side, I'd still love to see more women in leadership positions in podcasting, big companies and small companies. I would love to see more, I don't want to say more podcast recommendation newsletters, but I want to see more, I want more people to listen to podcasts. I want more of the world to be aware of these incredible stories that you're able to just pop into your ears and listen to. I also am excited by transcriptions and how more and more people are adopting transcriptions, and I'd like to see that happen more and more. Yeah, those are some of the things I'm excited about.
Awesome. And I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today. And I really think the things that you're doing are just awesome. And it's people like you that can be an inspiration and kind of like a guiding light for people who are getting into this. So I say thank you.
I say thank you for having me and for saying that. And you're also doing amazing things. So thank you.
Really do appreciate you listening to this episode and checking it out. I hope you continue to do so with the next. I hope you have an appreciation for what I'm trying to do here. Highlight all the different things all sorts of different creators are doing. I hope you get behind me on that and continue to join me on my journey. I'm Podcast Father, the Indie Podcaster. See you next time.